afternoon and welcome to another AGIF podcast. This afternoon, it's a great pleasure to have Paul Booth, the general manager of Alhambra Golf Club, with us today from the UAE. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Eric, and thank you for having me. Excited to be here. Ramadan Kareem to all of our listeners in Asia.
Ah, it's a pleasure, Paul. Before we ask more questions about your facility, can we get a little bit of background on yourself and your experience in the golf industry?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm a PGA professional by trade. I qualified in 1999, so it gives you an indication of my age. I then, after working for De Vere Hotels in the UK, I came over to the UAE and Abu Dhabi in 2001. And then from there, I've been mainly in Abu Dhabi, but I spent a bit of time in Malaysia working for the Els Club Malaysia portfolio of properties, but all of the time working for Troon Golf since 2007 at Abu Dhabi Golf Club, Sadiat Beach, and now in Alhambra Golf Club. So almost 20 years internationally at the moment.
Thank you, Paul. And so the facility Alhambra right now, can you give us a description of the facilities you have, the ownership and the membership composition?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the club is owned by Alhambra Real Estate Development Company. They're the largest real estate developer in the Northern Emirates. We have five hotels around the golf club, 4,000 keys, an 18-hole golf course with a 9-hole par 3 academy, a gym. We've got access to all of the hotels. It's a small membership component because it's more of a tourism destination. 43% of our business comes from international play through the hotels, the largest feeder markets, Germany and Scandinavia. That's about it, really, from the golf club.
Got it. And so we know you're reopened in general, the UAE. So what's the current situation? How long you've been reopened for? And
We actually shut down on March the 25th to coincide with the national government initiative for 14 days stay at home. So all of the golf clubs took a collective decision to close down for 14 days. We had no official circular to close down, but we wanted to support that initiative. After the 14-day initiative, Abu Dhabi Golf Club and the clubs there were the first to open on the 15th day. And I'll be honest with you, most of the clubs, including myself, kind of looked to see what would happen and how they got on and learn from any mistakes and situations that may occur. We reopened the golf on the 19th of April, followed by the food and beverage on the 29th of April. And since then, we've opened the gym and the practice tee in phases, but very slowly, members first, then member guests, then we let our Troon members come and play. And now we're open to the general public, but it's been a very slow dipping our toe in the water, making sure safety is the paramount importance for everyone. But up until today now, yesterday, the curfew's just changed. We're allowed to be out in the street until 10 o'clock today, and that goes back to 8 o'clock tomorrow. So from 8 p.m. until 6 a.m., the country is, if you like, on lockdown. And then from 6 a.m. till 8 p.m., everything is as normal as it can be for the COVID-19 situation.
Got it. And so during your close down, what did you do to keep the course in good condition? What turf grass management practices did you institute during the course closure?
Now during the closure period, it was an interesting one because everyone was essential work, what's not essential work. So we decided to get together with our superintendent, Alex McDowell, who's been with Troon Golf for almost 20 years. And we decided to really concentrate on the greens because everyone had to be at a 50% capacity working, or 30% as it is now. So we decided, let's concentrate on the greens, really make sure the greens are as good, if not better, than they are now. And then the landscaping areas, peripheral around the golf course, we let go a little bit just purely because of manpower and resources. But that was our goal, was to concentrate mainly on the greens and the surrounds and the rest of it, not let go completely, but we haven't been on top of that as much as we would be in a normal situation.
And in the clubhouse and your other facilities, did you do anything special to manage during the close down as well?
Well, I think a lot of it's been communication, awareness, not just for our members, but for our associates and our team. So it's been ongoing email communication to the members, just keeping everyone aware of what's going on, the latest developments as we get them. We've been doing a lot of training on the team. It's been a great chance to re-educate the team and get them up to speed with where we want them to be, not just with COVID-19, but with all of our general practices and policies and procedures.
Paul, I know you've been very active in our AGIF General Manager Facility Member WhatsApp group and sharing what you're doing at your club. How have your operations changed during the reopening?
Yeah, there's been a lot of change and a lot of education. I mean, a lot of it is temperature control. When people arrive to the facility, everyone has to sign a disclaimer. We've got hand sanitizers literally all around the place. We've created a sanitizing area for the golf carts when they finish their round. We've got almost like the Ghostbuster backpacks, what the guys are wearing, and they're spraying down everything. So it's an ongoing process. And really that reassures our members and our guests, because when they see the sanitizer everywhere, the sanitizing stations, the guys walking around with their backpack, they realize we're taking it seriously. And the good thing about all of our networks, whether it's the TRU network, the CMAA, the AGIF, we've all got our groups on the WhatsApp, and it's a great resource for sharing information, and it's been an open book. You know, sometimes it's competition, and you don't want to give details away, but it's been so refreshing to see everybody just sharing their resources and saying, look what we're doing, this here, this has worked well, this hasn't been great. So it's been very positive for the industry as a whole, the communication sharing that's come about from COVID-19, in my opinion.
That's great. I mean, it has been revolutionary information sharing. One thing that you mentioned when we had another conversation was that you've actually used your TEOF booking system to book spots in your gym. Maybe you can elaborate. What an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, now we have. We use a system called EasyLinks, which a lot of people use, varying systems. But all we've done with EasyLinks, they've been great. So they've made a T-sheet, quote unquote, for our gym. So we now book hour and a half slots for four people at a time. And it's an hour in the gym and then 30 minutes sanitizing. The law over here says it's 30% capacity. So, you know, what's 30% capacity of a gym? It's very difficult to work that out. So we thought, let's keep it to four people at a time. It's manageable, and they can stay away from each other and do their workouts. We've also done the same with our practice tee. We've opened that up to eight people at a time. So members can go online and book a slot on the practice tee, and it maximum eight people at any one time. They get a confirmation, they get a reminder. And honestly, this process, it's allowed us to make sure all of our members and guests go and book online. And we've all got the members that just like to walk up and play at the facility, but now we're pushing them online. In my opinion, we will enhance the overall experience. You know, carts can be ready, everyone knows who to arrive, bags can be out, prepared, rather than everyone running around when people turn up last minute. And I think it's going to take a process, but it will be better for everybody in the future.
And Paul, do you think this type of practices are going to hold? I mean, you think after COVID, it's not just a COVID-19 issue, that these are practices that will be more permanent as far as all the procedures?
I think so. I don't think anybody knows how long COVID-19 will be around, or if it ever goes entirely. I'm not too sure. But I think technology is going to be the way forward, online booking systems, QR codes for restaurants, because we've noticed a lot of our members and guests, every time we give them a menu, even though we sanitize it on the way over, we make an emphasis of doing that. You watch a member or guest, they pick up the menu and then immediately they sanitize their hands afterwards. So we're going to a QR code, so it comes up on your phone. You can place orders through your phone. So yeah, I think online bookings, technology will be around, not just now, but for the future.
And how's business been upon reopening? You mentioned you're mainly, well, a high degree is a tourism market, but how's your uptake been since you reopened?
It's been very positive, I've got to be honest with you. I mean, April, it started off okay. The food and beverage opened on the 29th, but from the 1st of May, and then coincide with Ramadan and Ramadan hours, green fee revenue has been doing exceptionally well. We're going to probably finish around level or ahead of prior year. Food and beverage has been fantastic, considering we're at 30% capacity of the outlet. Every table is going to be 2.5 meters apart, maximum of four people at a table. But we're going to be close to prior year numbers. We've created a temporary membership structure just to get people playing golf again. And we've sold 22 temporary memberships. Hopefully we'll convert those into full-time members. Retail has been very good. The only areas we're falling behind in is lessons, because we haven't been able to do any golf lessons, and range rental and other, which is rental equipment and the practice tee, simply because that hasn't been open to a full scale. So across the facility, we're very happy with where we are at the moment.
That's great news. And you mentioned before about sharing information through the True Network and also through AGIF, but I know you're very, very active with the CMAA education pathway, and you have a great network amongst your peers there. How's that helped in dealing with the whole issue with COVID-19?
Now, it's been very good. I mean, I've been attending a lot of the webinars that you're fully aware of through the CMAA and the AGIF, and you're listening to people who are going through the same situation as we are day in, day out, and just listening to people, picking up ideas. It's very refreshing, and it's comforting to know everybody's going through the same situation, and it's a great way of sharing and picking people's brains. So it's been fantastic.
You're a veteran of the industry. You've seen a lot of comings and goings. What do you think are some of the long-term impacts on this situation?
Well, again, like we said earlier, nobody knows how long COVID-19 is going to be around for and how long this situation will be here. But overall, I think it's going to be very positive for golf. I mean, the focus is going to be on health, wellness, outside activities. And golf is fantastic for that. I don't think there's any other sport where you can, shall we say, confine four people. I know we're currently doing maximum three people on the course at a time. Three people in one hole. So let's say the average hole is 300 meters long. So you've got three people in that one space. There's a lot of open air, a lot of movement. I don't think there's anything that's safer at this moment in time. So I think it's a great opportunity for golf clubs to reset the dial and get new people trying to play the golf, and even those people who haven't played for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, to get them out re-engaged in the game. And I think it's a good opportunity for golf to re-establish itself and stop the decline, so to speak, and start moving in the right direction.
Well, that's a good ending thought. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to add before we sign off?
No. It's just, once again, thank you for your time, and hope to catch up with you all soon. And Eid Mubarak in a couple of days.
Well, thank you. As I always say with all the interviews, it would be very good to catch up with you all face to face. And thank you very much for your time and sharing your expertise, and best wishes to you and your family. And hope to see you soon, Paul.
No, thank you. And to you. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Paul.